It is a pleasure to be here with you, and Sherry and I are delighted to have the invitation to come here today and enjoy worship with you, enjoy your fellowship. Even though our fellowship is somewhat at a distance these days, we rejoice to be here, and thank you for having us. Give your hardworking pastor a much-deserved break, and also it's a treat for me as well to be here to visit. So thank you. Let's turn in God's Word together to our scripture reading, which comes from the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations chapter 3, if you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 873. And our scripture reading will be short this morning because our focus will be rather tight. And that will be on just a few verses, really one verse, one very familiar verse from Lamentations 3. But before we read that passage, just to set the context just a bit, Lamentations is a book most likely written by the prophet Jeremiah, and on the occasion of the destruction of Jerusalem. And it was a terrible event, a somber occasion, and this is a lament over the destruction of that city and a description of how the sin of God's people had brought God's chastening upon them. And so it's a heavy book in a lot of ways. But there are beautiful bright points in this book, rays of light, if you will, that really reaffirm God's grace in the midst of suffering. And that's really one of the enduring lessons of this book, and one that we'll be, God willing, blessed to hear today. So in Lamentations 3, we have a prolonged description by the prophet of the suffering that he endured personally and also the people endured corporately. And in verse 19, that just gives you a little sampling of that. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And it is on these next two familiar verses that we'll focus this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. As you know, verse 23, which I just read, may sound familiar to you because that is one of the verses that from the Bible that regularly makes it onto refrigerator magnets and coffee mugs and calendars that you'll find in the Christian bookstore and other places. So it's a very popular verse, right? And it's a bit hard to decide whether or not the isolation and popularization of this verse does it a disservice or not? Because on the one hand, it really is one of the most beautiful acknowledgments of the continual mercy of God throughout the believer's life. And therein lies its popularity. People cling to this wonderful promise. But on the other hand, when it is isolated from its context, I think the true depth and the power and application of this verse might be somewhat diminished. Because if you didn't know, you probably wouldn't guess that that passage, verse 22 and 23 in particular, comes from a book called Lamentations, a book that is otherwise almost entirely about suffering and hardship. And as I said, it's a very heavy book in that regard. But then I think that is precisely what makes this verse stand out so clearly and beautifully, because here in the book of Lamentations, the clouds break for just a moment. And from the midst of suffering, the prophet affirms and declares this truth to us that God's grace and compassion will prevail because he is faithful. In other words, it is the experience of suffering itself that brings about this renewed realization of God's grace. The sorrow and the suffering, or as the prophet put it, the wormwood and the gall. That finally leads to this most beautiful approbation of God's mercy, this beautiful rediscovery of God's mercy. And so this passage shows us that in the darkest hour of tribulation, when God's compassion is needed the most, His compassion, when it is needed most, proves to be unfailing. And so, in Romans chapter 5, Paul says that we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces patience and character and hope. And James likewise says to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that those trials add the fruit of perseverance to our faith. And so in a very similar vein, the glory of Paul and the joy of James are matched here by the prophet in Lamentations 3, when he exclaims from the midst of and from the depths of terrible suffering that God's unfailing compassions are new every morning. And so there is indeed something to glory in when it comes to the trials of life, whether they be small trials that we experience from week to week or the bigger trials of life that we all have. It is precisely then that our God is pleased to reveal Himself to us in new ways, in unexpected ways, as a faithful Savior with unfailing compassion. And so that, my point is, the context of these verses lends them a great deal of their meaning. God's compassions are not new every morning in the sense that our lives will be like a perpetual peaceful sunrise, but rather His compassions are new every morning in the sense that His compassions will prevail over even the darkest nights of tribulation that we may have to endure. And that is the greatest comfort. Now, having thought briefly about the context of these famous verses, I'd like to spend the rest of our time this morning focusing on one of the details of this passage, and it's one of the details that makes this verse so memorable, but I think it's a detail that's also somewhat overlooked. And listen to it again. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's compassions are said to be new every morning. Why is the renewal of God's compassion tied to a particular time of day by the prophet? Every morning. Well, perhaps it is simply a poetic way of saying that it happens every day. But still, the prophet doesn't say they are new every day. He says they're new every morning. That's one of the emphases of this text. In fact, this phrase, I think, is carefully chosen and deeply meaningful against the very rich background of biblical imagery about the morning. First of all, morning is a time of day in the Bible that is synonymous with spiritual renewal. And that is because sleeping and awakening in the Bible are daily illustrations of our death and our resurrection. In the Bible, death and sleep are two words that are used almost interchangeably. And so the psalmist talks about sleeping the sleep of death. Likewise, awakening from sleep is an image and a picture of our resurrection. As, for example, in Psalm 17, which we'll sing in a little while together, the psalmist beautifully puts it, "I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." That is speaking of His resurrection as an awakening. And so each day holds a reminder of the promise of the resurrection for us, and the fact that we must first die in order to be raised up again, just as our Savior had to sleep the sleep of death before awakening to His resurrection on the third day. And so each and every night when you go to sleep, and each morning when you awake, your death and your resurrection, in a sense, are being enacted and anticipate it until they come. And that is why in the Bible, mourning is synonymous with renewal. And no doubt that is why in the Bible, mourning time is synonymous with hopes being fulfilled and mercy being received. I want to emphasize that. Mourning time is synonymous in the Bible with hopes being fulfilled and mercy being received. For instance, Psalm 30 compares the life of faith to mourning following night. You remember these words. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And we just sang Psalm 143 where the psalmist says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, after having spoken about being in the depths of darkness, and so on. And who can forget Psalm 130, where the longing for God is compared to watchmen waiting for the morning? In these and in many other examples, mourning is synonymous with hopes being fulfilled and mercy being received. Now, against this background, that is the fact that the Bible often pictures our sleeping and our awakening as our death and our resurrection, and mourning time being synonymous with renewal and life. It is no wonder that in the examples of faith that we do see in the Bible, the mourning time is the choicest time of the day to seek the face of God. It is that time of the day when we ought to be most conscious of being in His presence, of an awakening into His presence. For instance, Psalm 5, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. And Psalm 63, O God, you are my God, and early will I seek for you. And David says in Psalm 108, awake, lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn, picturing his worship as that which prompts the very sunrise. On and on the examples go. Now, of course, other times of day and night are mentioned in the Bible as times of prayer and times of worship. One cannot escape the impression anywhere in Scripture, and everywhere we look in the Psalter in particular, that the morning is the time not only of our physical awakening, but it is to be a time of a spiritual awakening, a time when you and I are to be particularly sensitive to our recreation in Christ and the renewal of His mercies. It's interesting that God Himself has even said in the Scriptures to rise up early to speak to His people. There's a few verses that I'd like to read from Jeremiah. And as I mentioned, Jeremiah is likely the author of Lamentations. And Jeremiah has some very fascinating imagery about God waking in the morning to speak to His people. In Jeremiah chapter 7, in his famous temple sermon, when he went and preached a public sermon in the temple, speaking of God reaching out to His people time and time again, chapter 7 of Jeremiah, and I'm reading this from the New King James Version, I noticed that the ESV kind of translates it differently and it kind of loses some of its impression. But in Jeremiah 7, verse 13, the Lord says, and now because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. And that's a recurring theme in this temple sermon, because he uses the same language in verse 25. Again, this is Jeremiah 7, verse 25. God speaking, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. God says twice that he got up early in the morning to speak to his people. He got up early in the morning in order to send his prophets to his people. And he uses that verb that literally means to get up early and do something. The verb is shakam in Hebrew, and it means to wake up early so you can get to the first thing on your to-do list, right? To do something early. That's what it means. What does that mean with God? Well, God doesn't sleep. He doesn't wake up, you know, and begin his to-do list with number one. What it means is he spoke with intentionality, with purpose, right? Immediately. There was no delay, right? He had priority in speaking to his people. In any case, what it means is that you cannot get up early enough that God is not already waiting for you. If rising up early to do something expresses the importance and the priority of that thing, so that even God himself is said to rise up early to speak to his people, then you and I must rise up early to listen, at least in the spiritual sense of hearing and heeding his word, if not in the actual physical sense of arising early from our beds to do so. But ancient Israel had slept in more ways than one. They had no priority or intentionality in their spiritual lives. Let's return to our passage at hand, our verse in Lamentations 3. If we have established that morning time holds a special place in the rhythm of the Christian life, then I think you're likely expecting that the application of this sermon will be an exhortation to have morning devotions from day to day. And you would be right. That is maybe the most obvious application, and it is certainly one of them. God says his mercies are new to us every morning. I can't help but think, and I know this from my own experience in my own life, and yours is probably the same as mine. But oftentimes our mornings can be sort of a groggy descent into routine rather than a spiritual awakening into the presence of the Lord. But if we would form the habit of directing our waking thoughts to the Lord in the morning, in prayer and in devotion, and in this way intentionally offer him the first fruits of the day, if you will, the first of our thoughts, the first of our energy, I think then we will discover more and more what it means that his mercies and his compassions are new every morning. Directing our hearts and minds toward Christ in the morning, of course, practically speaking, will look different for each one of us because each one of us has a different schedule to keep. And you and I know full well that the routines of the day cannot be held at bay for too long. But the important thing is to direct your mind and your heart to him in the morning, to orient your faith and life heavenward with your first thoughts in the morning, and to offer God the life that you live that day, and all that you will do that day as a sacrifice to him, and to be very aware of his presence when your eyes open in the morning. And be aware that when you awoke, when that moment comes every day, and you and I experience it every day, when your eyes open and your head's still on the pillow, at that moment, the promise of the resurrection was held forth to you once again. The day that has just begun represents the new life that you have in Christ. When each morning comes, you are indeed a new creation. Psalm 139, verse 8 says something very, very simple, and yet I think very, very profound. It simply says, "When I awake, I am still with you. When I awake, I am still with you." You see, when you awake, that is the time to remember that he is still with you, and you are with him, and nothing can separate you from his unfailing compassions. Now, there's another encouraging way to apply this verse. God's compassions are new every morning. Because the sense of this verse is that his compassions are renewed every morning. That is to say, they're not just extended one more day, but they're actually added to with each day that comes. And what that means is that you and I have not nearly discovered all that there is to discover about God's compassions. That each day is meant for you and for me to grow in our seeing and our experiencing and our praising God for His compassions. If His compassions are new every morning, then each day really is a new beginning of our walk with Christ. You know, people of the world always look for new beginnings. Whether it be about a month from now, everybody will be making New Year's resolutions, right? Trying to remake themselves and so on. People talk often about turning over a new leaf or whatever it may be. Everybody would like to be renewed in some way, right? To have a new direction in life, a new purpose, whatever it may be. And people strive at that and fail at that. It happens all the time around us. But by trusting in Christ, you and I actually do have a new beginning. And it's not once a year. It's once a day. You and I have a new beginning every day. Each morning is a fresh assurance of God's grace in Christ. And each morning, this verse assures us, His grace is added to. And so, when it comes to your walk with Christ, your struggle against sin, your service to the Lord, your inner spiritual life, all of the things that make up your walk with Christ, all of those areas in life where you feel weak, where you feel like you need more grace, in all of those things, remember this, you have a new beginning and you have greater grace when the sun rises each and every day. But for our part, we must be determined to be renewed. And that is to say, to be determined in our hearts to not let a new morning come and another day pass us by without some real renewal in our lives. You see, our spiritual lives are reckoned in days. Not years, not weeks, but days. The apostle said in 1 Corinthians, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Not year by year, not month by month, not week by week. Day by day. A day is the spiritual measure of our lives. That is the purpose of a day. And you and I must think in terms of the purpose of a day and lay hold of that purpose. If the purpose of a day is for us to be renewed in Christ, and we have the assurance that His compassions are new every morning, enabling us to be renewed that day, that by the time the sun sets, there will be some renewal taking place in our lives. And so think of it this way. Every 24 hours is kind of a microcosm of your existence. The daytime is like your life, the purpose of which is to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. The nighttime when you sleep is like your death, which will surely come. Then the morning is your resurrection, when you and I will say with the psalmist, when I awake, I am still. Came across a quotation which I had to bring along with me today because it strikes me as so appropriate. It's from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Daily Devotions. And I just had to copy it and bring it here because he puts the point beautifully. Listen to what he says. It's about a paragraph, but it's very worth hearing. He says, every new morning is a new beginning in our life. Every day is a completed whole. The present day should be the boundary of our care and our striving. One day is long enough for us to find God or to lose Him, to keep the faith or to fall into sin and shame. God created day and night so that we might not wander boundlessly, but already in the morning we may see the goal of the evening before us. As the old sun rises new every day, so the eternal mercies of God are new every morning. To grasp the old faithfulness of God anew every morning, and listen to this, to be able, in the middle of life, to begin a new life with God daily, that is the gift that God gives with every new morning. I think that puts the point beautifully that the prophet is making here in Lamentations 3. And this brings us to our final point this morning. How the whole idea of newness in the morning is a picture of the resurrection and how that leads us to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, all of the imagery of God's grace in the morning that we've been talking about comes to its perfection in the resurrection of our Savior. This is an important point. I want you to realize this. Every gospel writer of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is very particular to point out that the resurrection of Christ and the discovery of it took place at a particular time of day, and that was just as the sun was rising. Matthew begins his resurrection account by saying this, quote, "As the first day of the new week began to dawn." That's how the resurrection account begins. Mark begins his account by saying this, quote, "Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen." And Luke begins his account this way, quote, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb." You see, the gospel writers want us to know without a doubt when this took place, that this took place at dawn. Just as the sun was coming up on the first day of the week, that's when it was discovered that the resurrection of Christ was real. It was true. And so all of this imagery in the Old Testament we've been talking about here in Lamentations 3, throughout the Psalter, every other verse we mention, all that imagery of awakening to new life, of compassion in the morning, of renewal at daybreak, of watching for the dawn, and all those phrases and all that imagery, all of that comes to its fulfillment when the sun was just coming up and the disciples found the empty tomb. The promise of the resurrection was realized. And just as God had promised, Christ had risen from the grave. God showed his promise to be true. And you remember from Psalm 110 when the Father promised the Son this very thing. How did he put it? He said, "From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth." That's the promise the Father made the Son, that he would rise again. "From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth." See, there it is again, the promise of the resurrection in the image of renewal in the morning. And that's when Christ rose again from the grave. And that promise was fulfilled. Well, here this morning, let's joyfully dwell upon the fact that God has made another promise that is just as true, that if you yourself believe in and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you also will have that joy in the morning, that you also will have the morning of your resurrection to eternal life. And so as the daytime of your life passes and the nighttime of your death approaches, remember that God has promised us that in Christ there will be morning. There will be that shout of joy when the morning comes. And that you and I will awaken to eternal life. Just as we awake every morning, our eyes open to a new day and a new consciousness. That will happen one day. You and I will awake in the presence of God forever. We will awake in His presence and in His likeness. But in the meantime, tomorrow morning and the next morning, every morning as you lie in bed and your eyes open to a new day, we are reminded of that promise. And each day when we awake, you and I can rejoice about the truth of this passage. The truth that His compassions, which fail not, are new every morning. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You that Your compassions are new every morning indeed. And we lift our voices with the prophet to exclaim, "Great is Your faithfulness." Father, we thank you that the promise of the resurrection is true and it is real. And we know this because the Lord Jesus Christ, He rose again from the dead, just as you have promised. We know that all of us who are in Him by faith, that we too will awake one day in your likeness. Father, we rejoice that from day to day in this life and in this world, whether we have hardships or struggles, we know that when we awake, you are still with us and your mercies are new every morning. Father, thank you. Please bless this word to the hearts of your people this day. And may it bear good fruit in our lives. We pray for the sake and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.